think we're going to fade out of Fred Bear here for Friday morning. And no offense, Fred. Sorry about that. But anyway, into the conservation show here this morning. We have in studio Logan and Sonny. So unlike last time I was here, there are two people from conservation here, which I'm very grateful for. So there was only one that came last time. So it was fun. It was a great show. But anyway, Logan and Sonny, good morning. And how are both of you doing today?
Doing good. This is the second time doing the show here, so looking forward to.
All right. Well, welcome in.
You bet.
Welcome in. And Jeff Carino, by the way, is back next Friday. So just in case you're wondering out there. Sonny, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
All right.
Great Friday.
I thought maybe you could bring some sunshine since your name is Sonny. But,
well,
but
it was snowing when I left the park. I wasn't.
We won't
wasn't
blame you.
That.
We were not going to blame you for the cloudiness. I'm not. I don't mean that. But
I wish
with
I could
the
do
name
that
like Sonny, yeah, I wish you had control of that.
Yeah,
right?
It'd be cool.
All right. Okay. So what's going on in the world this week? So just go ahead, guys.
Well, we're starting to see the ice come off most of the lakes here, which is a promising sight to see for most getting ready to do some spring fishing now. I know down my way, I'm out of Hamlin County. Pretty much 90% of our lakes right now are all ice-free. So still haven't got any docks in. I'm guessing it'll be early next week yet as there's still a few ice sheets roaming around the lakes yet. But definitely a promising sight down our way. Starting to see some open water fishermen. I guess, what are you seeing up here at Big Stone? Is it primarily open right now?
It's a lot of the south portion is open. Basically, north of the park is got a sheet of ice. In front of our park, there's 100 yards of open water just because we have our creek constantly flowing, and that really opens things up pretty early when we get those nicer days. But we're getting there. We're getting there.
I'm guessing all the docks are still out of the water yet up here too.
Yep. So with docks, we'll wait until basically all the ice is off the lake just to not cause any damage to our docks if anything breaks off or if it's a windy day. Thinking maybe next week we might get it.
For people who are wondering,
next week probably is going to be a good bet for when we're going to put them in. So
yeah, and I know like the Cottington County area, I know they put some docks in, I believe, on Compesca the other day, and I want to say they might have put the one in on Pelican, maybe two. So if guys are looking to get some boats, and there's definitely opportunities this weekend. I haven't seen a boat yet down my way yet. Have you seen boats on Big Stone yet?
Yeah, one of my seasonals sent me a picture of a boat on Traverse,
Okay. Actually.
So
they're definitely itching to get out there right now.
Yep, especially when you don't ice fish. It's like you got that itch all winter. They're eager to get out there. I don't blame them.
No, and with the nice weather we're having, it's going to be a beautiful time. It looks like it's going to warm up here, too, after this weekend. So be a perfect time to get
out there. Overall, I mean, I'm not an ice fisherman, but overall, I mean, it hasn't been a great winter for ice fishing, has it? Because it's been quite warm most of the winter, hasn't it?
Yeah, we had a lot of unsafe ice this year, too, which was weird. I mean, we had a lot of bodies of water, even during that cold stretch, that were still holding open water. And honestly, the bite, like Big Stone, I know I came up here a few different times and worked and fished, and the bite was really sporadic. You either did really good one time, and then the next time you didn't do well at all.
Yeah, it was on and off. There was a stint towards the end of the season where it was awful. I walked out probably the last day you could on Big Stone without feeling like you're going to fall through, and I had a great day. So if you were out there late ice where you can only walk, you had good days. So, yeah, we didn't. It wasn't amazing. There was a stint like mid-season where it was okay, but nothing crazy, like no big schools of perch coming through.
That's definitely one thing we noticed while working out here, even this year. The perch were a little harder to find this year. I don't know if did they pick up at the end here, or do you still struggle finding some perch?
Still struggled. The bluegill were a lot easier to find than the perch for me.
Yep.
But the bluegill were giant. Everyone knows that. So
the bluegills and the crappies and the big walleyes kind of held everybody through for the winter on Big Stone.
Yep, no kidding. At least you can chase something. You know they're in there, the big bluegills, big walleye. I mean,
it should be a good spring up there, I would think, too, for the walleyes. I know last year was pretty good. A lot of guys were catching some really big walleyes up there, and this spring's shaping up to be pretty similar to how last year was, too.
Yep, that's what I hope. We're going to be, and I think this goes for anywhere around the area, it's looking like we're going to be very shallow.
Yep.
Which, for our access, is not good because we're shallow already. So it's kind of up in the air if people are going to be even able to launch at our park.
Yep.
So, no, yeah, that's shallow water is not good for launching.
It's definitely going to make it difficult everywhere. I know, like, even down in Hamlin, Ponset right now is about a foot to 2 foot below normal. Albert's about the same. And, yeah, just checking out a bunch of the landings the other day, it's going to be trickier for guys with bigger boats to get in this year. And especially even, too, for cabin owners putting docks and lifts in now, too. It's going to be tough to get some boats off some lifts as well.
Yep, if we don't get rain like we did last spring, because it was just constant, it just kept raining and raining and raining. And honestly, it was like the lakes were still at kind of a normal level, and we got tons of rain in the spring. So if that doesn't happen again, we're going to be very, very low.
That's one thing we can hope on now is these dreary days, just get some moisture, hopefully. It seems like we miss out on every storm that they talk about. It's supposed to hit it, and then we miss at the last second, so...
Yep, that's just our luck. I wonder, I'm curious to see if we're going to get any more big snow. I don't know. I don't think it's looking good.
I don't think
anything for, like, decent amount of precipitation. I don't know if we're going to get. But now that I say that, it's going to dump, like, 2 feet maybe.
Well, a few years ago, actually, 10, 15 years ago or so, April 26th, we had a major, major blizzard because one of our youngest son was going to have a birthday party that day, and actually school got out early, and then some of the kids lived in the country, so we had to cancel the birthday party on April 26th. I think we had, like, I want to say 10, 12 inches of snow, so I hate to say that it could come yet, but
I'm okay.
It could come yet.
As long, I'm okay with moisture. I prefer it to be rain, but...
True, good point.
Yeah, it always seemed like with the big snow when they used to have the walleye opener, it used to be, I think, around the third weekend of April, it always seemed like we'd be fishing on the dock in a snowstorm during that. So it's definitely not out of the question yet.
We will see. No, yeah, moisture's good. We'll see. I'm a little worried about the dock, but I hope we get moisture so people can launch because we have quite a few tournaments this summer out of our access specifically. I'm not worried about Kozeski's at all. I mean, that everyone knows that launch is deeper and it can hold up some low waters, but our park is not one that can do that for bigger boats especially.
Yep.
So,
and it seems like that Hartford ramp always gets silted in with people power loading and stuff, and it makes it a little difficult.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're doing some work on it, hopefully soon, like within the next month or so, adding in some Class A riprap to try to level out that, and hopefully it won't get blown out, but we'll see. I think it'll work well, and I hope we get more water so people can actually use it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, even for not only for the fishermen, but even for the ducks, as I'm sure everybody's seeing rolling in right now, the ducks and geese this spring, and just for breeding conditions too. A lot of our small potholes are already dried up, which is not good. And I know I should add our waterfall biologist just on today, but they were talking yesterday just about some of the breeding that might not happen here now with the low water and really no potholes around.
Yeah, if there is water, there is going to be usually geese in it. It's like it's pretty low. So.
Yeah. You guys got much for snow geese up in this area? Have you noticed any coming to and from the park?
Yeah, I have a little bit passing through. I've seen a few around the Millbank area, but I'm not a huge waterfowl person. So if I look up and I see birds, I'm like, oh, there's birds, you know?
Yeah. We've noticed a lot down, well, even on the way up here on Hamlin on Highway 81, from like the Coddington line all the way down to the Kingsbury Brookings line, there's snow geese pretty much all the way along there right now. So definitely plenty of opportunity. Only a few guys actually out hunting them. I noticed one spread this morning on the way up, and other than that, really hardly very few guys out actually hunting them right now.
So how long is that season? I guess you have to base it on when they're there.
Yeah, it runs from February into May. Like, I think it runs actually toward the end of May. It might even be the 31st of May there. So it's open for quite some time.
Yeah, just so you can catch that window.
Yep.
Okay.
I would say a good majority of our birds came through last week. And then now we're kind of phasing out. There's quite a few adults around yet, but we're getting some juvies starting to show up. And then if it stays nice by the end of the month, there'll be very few left around right now.
Sure.
But yeah, one thing too, just for viewers listening, I know in the news the other day there was, I don't know if you guys seen the bird flu news story or whatnot, but a lot of people were getting questions on that. A lot of that was actually from last fall. So those birds that were showing up, I believe it was on Lake Byron down there. There's a couple thousand of them. A lot of those birds died last fall and froze into the ice, and they're washing up to shore now. So for guys that are hunting them now, I wouldn't be super concerned with running into bird flu birds. Obviously, take precaution with them if you think they might be sick or something, and definitely cook them all the way through. But a lot of that was last fall, and we haven't really seen any sign of bird flu this spring so far, which is a good sign.
So you can still eat a bird with bird flu if you cook it all the way?
That's what they say. Say if you cook it to 165, it's supposed to kill everything in it, but it's each their own whether you want to.
You won't catch me even doing that.
Take your risk at your own risk, yeah. I guess, if you will.
Usually we tell people if they're not comfortable eating them, then just don't shoot them. Leave them be and let them keep living. So.
Fair enough. So you've been seeing a lot of hunters?
Not really, honestly. Not a ton. In the last couple of weeks, I've only checked less than a dozen hunters right now. I know this morning, like the group that was set up there, there was probably, I don't know, three or four trailers and a couple other pickups. So quite a few guys there. But seeing a lot of non-residents starting to come in now, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, and honestly a lot of the college kids are all on spring break right now. So we're seeing a few groups of college kids coming down hunting them too.
What's the most common violation that you see with those hunters?
I'd say the most common is probably, honestly, no license.
Okay.
Or every once in a while we'll have guys that'll jump shoot them, basically sneak up on a group and jump shoot them, and they'll end up killing species that aren't allowed right now, like speckle bellies or ducks or Canada geese. Otherwise, the conservation season is a pretty liberalized season. They almost let anything go. You can use unplugged shotguns. You can shoot a half hour after sunset. You can use e-callers. There's no limit on them.
Sure.
So it's a pretty liberalized season, honestly, so there's only a few violations that the guys can really run into.
Sure. You don't hunt, do you?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Do you fish?
Nope.
Are you looking to get into it? At least fishing. Fishing is way easier to get into.
Maybe someday after I retire, but I just I do all the play-by-play for the high school basketball teams and everything and football. And after that, trying to keep up with my own family and stuff, I don't have a lot of time left over.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I suppose the sports seasons are kind of right during the prime hunting season.
Well,
so.
yeah. And sometimes, well, and then during the summer, I do Legion baseball. So, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people hunt and fish and stuff during the summer, too. But I don't know, my time's at a premium, but some year I will retire. So, and hopefully maybe after that.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Pick it up, and then you'll spend a lot of money on it if you get interested.
Yeah, spend my retirement on that. Right, exactly. There you go. But, no, that's I'm sure that's a great thing to be into.
Definitely seems like the participation in hunting stuff for as far as younger people seems to be trending downward a little bit now, but trying to get some programs and stuff to try to reactivate people and reintroduce people into it.
Yep, for sure. That's a big thing that we try to do, get those programs going. I got school group season is upon us with them taking their field trips. Already got quite a few scheduled for that, and I always look forward. I mean, last year I love teaching. I love seeing kids, you know, light up, learning new things, doing that. So I look forward to that. So I'm getting excited about the spring.
Yeah, this is definitely the time of year. Like you said, it seems like it's school season. It seems like we're in the schools probably once or twice a week right now for the next month or so.
Yep, and we have a Go Forth program that's pretty big. We get a lot of fourth graders coming to the park for programs because we want to reach out to them, because all fourth graders get a Go Forth. It's like a coupon type deal where you can get an annual half off or a double half off, or you can get a free day in the park. And all fourth graders should get that. I know I do programs for fourth graders in Millbank for sure. Big Stone, Wilmot, all the surrounding areas. So yeah, I'm excited. And that means when the school kids start coming, that means camping is very, very near as well. So we hop right into the crazy season for that. So
yeah, it's a good time of year here. What is the 90-day window? It's got to be past. Is it past Father's
Day
now? It
is June 18th today.
June 18th. Okay.
So is that Father's Day's weekend? Father's Day?
Yeah, I want to say
it usually is, I think.
It's
got to
be right around
that
there.
Sounds like it. So that's a good note. I mean, if you want to camp on Father's Day, I would hop on a reservation site and try to grab the spot you want. If you're picky on your spot, I'd suggest you get on 90 days, because usually if you're picky on your spot, someone else likes that spot as well. So, yeah. We're full for Memorial Day already. Open house weekend, which is May 16th through 18th, which is free entrance to the park and also free fishing. We have plenty of sites open for that, so, yeah.
I did jump on the Google machine, which I like to do once in a while. Sunday, June 15th, Father's Day.
Okay.
That's open now.
That is open, so you got to hop on it.
All right.
Yeah. Looks like you guys have been doing some work on us. It was on our Facebook page yesterday that you guys had that post about the bats there doing some work at the campground.
Yep, we're expanding our dump station. Right now, we basically just have two single islands and one dump, which is one drinkable water, one potable water. And now we're going to have four fills for drinkable water, two fills for potable water, and two dumps. So it's a pretty big expansion. We see obviously a lot of traffic on Sunday mornings and it can get plugged up. So just one thing to make things a little bit more convenient for our campers. So we did have to do some tree removal. For our drain field and our expansion of it. So we did that now, if you guys didn't see that Facebook post, because bats usually migrate into our area around mid-April, I'd say. And then they migrate off usually in like October or so. So we removed those trees prior to their migration because that area was identified as potential habitat for endangered bat species. One of them is the long-eared bat, the northern long-eared bat, which is apparently common in our park. Hmm. So we removed those before they roost in those trees. But there's still plenty of suitable habitat in the park for them. We just, don't want to take down those trees while they're in them so they can find other suitable habitat where they aren't threatened. So, yeah, it'll look like that all summer. For our contract, we have to leave 4-foot stumps above the ground so we can't grind them out or anything so that it'll just stay that way all summer. So if you're like driving through the park, question, why are all these random stumps sticking up that we have to leave them that way? So
that makes sense. Well, yeah, that'll be nice having the bigger dump station for just when people are trying to get in and out of there on a busy weekend. It makes it a little smoother.
Yep, it's something that's been requested quite a few times, and we got quite a bit of ARPA money from the federal government, which is just basically like water-based programs that we can do in our park system. And our park system really takes advantage of that because we have lots of water stuff and sometimes a lot of water issues and drainage issues. So
that's definitely a good thing to take advantage of when you get some money to help fund those projects.
Right, because those things are not cheap. So, yep.
I know I've got a couple of questions just in passing.
Okay.
On when you guys are thinking about open, like, conversations at parks. When do you usually look at opening those up just for people to know?
When our overnight lows get above freezing, consistently, we look at opening those. Obviously, because a lot of our water lines are not deep enough to not freeze, basically, if we do have them on, so we need to flush them out. So, yeah, we wait until our overnight lows get above freezing, and that's usually, I want to say last year we did it, like, maybe very early May.
Okay.
Is probably a good guess, but I'll post on our Facebook updates with everything, and that goes with the fish cleaning station, too. That one's definitely very susceptible to freezing, so that one we may try to hold off a little bit, but obviously we like to keep it open as early as we can. Just so we don't cost ourselves money with things breaking. So, yep.
Yeah, that'll be the fish cleaning station one is always the one we get questioned on right away. But I think most people realize, too, a lot of that stuff has water going through it all the time. And as soon as it freezes, it breaks it all. So we definitely got to wait till we get above freezing temps.
Yeah, we like to play it a little bit more cautious. But, no, yeah. Last year, we left it open a little bit longer. Because we were getting good fishing pressure, so we put a heater inside of the table itself so lines wouldn't freeze. And it may be something that we could do earlier in the season too, and then we just basically close off the gaps in the bottom with pieces of wood.
Yep.
So we can do that in the spring too, leave it open a little bit longer. So yeah, those are some things that we try to do for your conveniency so you can enjoy it earlier and later.
Which is definitely nice for some of the sportsmen out there too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, I think we're going to take our first break here in the Conservation Show. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
This is Russ Evans from the Under the Hood Show. When I'm in Milbank area and need parts or tools, I trust Napa Auto Parts in Milbank. Napa Milbank is locally owned and operated by my good friends Chris and Eric Kelly. They pride themselves on great customer service, quality parts, and tools at competitive prices. With convenient hours every day, weekdays 7:30 to 6, Saturday 8 to 4:30, and Sunday 11 to 2:30. Trust me, these guys know their stuff and they're ready to get the job done. Napa Auto Parts Milbank, south of the Highway 12 and 15 intersection, or give them a call at 438-NAP.
Calling all anglers and adventurers. Discover the ultimate convenience store at Jergen Sea Store in Wilmot, your go-to destination for everything you need to fuel your fishing passion. New to our lineup, live bait. That's right, we've got fresh minnows and wriggling worms to help you hook the big one. But wait, there's more. Our deli serves up savory burgers, mouth-watering Piccadilly pizza, snacks, cold beverages, and a whole lot of yum. And don't forget to top off your tank while you're here. Fill up your car, pickup, and boat with top-notch gas so you can hit the road or the water without missing a beat. For all your fishing and fueling needs, there's only one name to remember. Jergen Sea Store in Wilmot, another great Stilson Oil Company Sea Store. Swing by today and let the adventure begin.
Shop the Spring Boating Sales Event at Doug's Anchor Marine. Through March 26th, get a free Bass Pro Shop gift card up to $1,000 with the purchase of select new Tracker boats powered by Mercury Motors. When you buy a new qualifying Mercury-powered Tracker, get up to 7 years of factory-backed warranty on the Mercury motor. Shop the Spring Boating Sales Event at Doug's Anchor Marine, North Highway 20, Watertown, online at dougsanchormarine.com. Your authorized Tracker boat dealer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textblend.us. Texting rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop, opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text TRUST to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text TRUST to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text TRUST to 200-300. That's TRUST to 200-300. TRUST to 200-300.
10:30 here on your Friday morning. Let's continue now with the Conservation Show. And once again, Logan and Sunny.
Yeah, so we can kick it off here. Just going to talk a little bit about some boat maintenance stuff as we were talking during the break. We'll probably start seeing some boats coming out this week. So I'll just kind of run through a list of some stuff. Guys can definitely, when you think about getting your boat out of the shop here, one thing we usually run into right away when guys are pulling boats out of sheds, we see a lot of guys that put their plug in their boat for some reason when they put it in storage so they don't lose it. And then we'll end up running into a lot of guys, whether we're at the ramp or just when we see them traveling down the road, they'll actually still have the plug in their boat for putting in storage. So just want to remind people to pull them out so we don't run into that issue. It's, I think now the ticket for having a plug in your boat is $182.50, so it's a pretty good fine if you do end up forgetting it in there. And then also now is a good time of year, too, just to kind of run through your boat, do a quick maintenance checklist like usually we do on our patrol boats, but make sure all the bearings are greased up on your wheels there. Obviously, check all trailer lights. Make sure your license plate's still there. A lot of guys will end up ripping that off sometimes, pulling their boat in and out quick. And then just go through your boat as well. Make sure you got the safety essentials, especially when we come do compliance checks on you. Main thing we're looking for is life jackets, throwable, and fire extinguishers. So definitely a good thing to go through your boat right now. Make sure you got enough life jackets for all the people that you're planning on taking out there. Make sure your throwable's in there, which is just the square cushion that you can toss out like a frisbee to somebody if they need it, if they're in trouble in the water. And then also check fire extinguishers as well, because they do expire and go bad after a while. A lot of people don't really realize that. They just keep them in the boat forever. So definitely take a look at your fire extinguisher. A lot of people probably honestly haven't even taken them out of the box that they're in. So take them out. It'll have a little, usually has a little dial on the top that'll say whether it's in good condition or bad condition. And if you got a really old school one, there's actually like a white pin that you can push in at the top. And then if your fire extinguisher is still charged up, it should pop right back out. So if it stays in, definitely time for a new one, because when we come check, we require that they're in working condition. So those are just
so
a few.
So if it is in the red, that's...
Yep. If it's red, means that it's bad.
That's, right. But are you going to... Would you give them like a citation if they're...
A lot of times for some of that smaller stuff, as long as they got it, we'll end up giving them a warning or make sure they get it and show us that they got it that way. Because it might still work. Not 100. It's just saying that it's likely not charged up. So there's a chance when you go to use it, it could just be nothing left of it.
Right. There isn't that pressure.
Yep. Yeah, it should be. They should all be in the green. It should have a little arrow on top. It should be in the green. I think it says working condition. It should all be in that. But yeah, that's definitely a few of the things that go through when you're getting your boat ready to go there. A lot of the, seems like we see a lot of times guys get in a hurry to get out fishing in the spring and ultimately forget a lot of their safety stuff. And this time of year is a super dangerous time, because if you do fall in, that water's still cold enough right now where hypothermia can set in fairly quick. So definitely a good idea to go through that, and also just let people know where you're going to if you're going fishing by yourself, just in case you were to get into trouble with batteries not starting right away or any boat problems seem to be happen right away early in the season.
For sure. I think boats got me thinking about buoys too. That's another thing that we got to do. We usually put those out in May or so.
Yep.
Obviously obey all the buoy symbols or no wake. I've seen, we have a pretty decent sized no wake zone in front of our park, and I've seen plenty of people have wakes. So just don't forget that. Read those buoys. Obviously don't go into our swimming areas. Harford Beach is a little bit different. Our bigger beach is our boater's beach, so technically you can put your boat right on our boater's beach, which is the beach that's to the east there, but on the very west side there is a dedicated swimmer's beach, so just got to stay out of that area.
Yeah, that's one thing we usually run into in the summers too. A lot of times people think, so you're not even actually allowed to have a boat or anything in there, even if you're just pulling it in there or whatever. No boat can actually go within the swim zone. We see a lot of times in the summer they'll pull up, let the kids out, and just park on the beach, but you're not allowed anywhere in the swim zone with the boat, just for people listening.
Yep, and that's for any watercraft. That goes for kayaks, canoes, paddle boards. I wouldn't say lily pads, because I've had that question. I'm like, lily pads are probably fine, but canoes, kayaks, no boats or flotation, movable flotation things can't be in those areas.
Yeah, and the no wake one's a huge one we always run into too. It seems like people see no wake buoys and they all they see is a slalom course. They want to go through them, which I mean it looks fun, but it's definitely if we catch you doing it, we'll definitely stop you for that.
Yeah, especially the jet skis. That's I can see that.
That's the notorious one. Is usually the jet skis. You get two or three of them in a row, and everybody wants to whip through them.
Yeah.
But makes for an unsafe area for people trying to load boats or if there's people swimming right near there as well.
For sure. What's going on with the bounty program? I know we've had a few weeks of youth.
Yep. Yeah, so I think we're on, what's today? Is today the 21st already? So yeah, we're on 3 weeks already now of the youth could be out trapping. We had our first turn in. Tails was this Tuesday, I want to say, this week. I was there for a while. I can't remember. I want to look at our number. I think we spent like $9,000, I think, this first Tuesday for turn-in. So had a decent turnout. But yeah, on April 1st there, it opens up to the general public. Now is actually a pretty good time for trapping with this warmer weather and nice nights and stuff. There's actually a lot of the predator animals out and about. Seen a lot of raccoons get turned in the other day when I was still there. And that program's open for raccoon, skunk, badger, fox, and possum. So those are the five you can get. And definitely recommend taking advantage of that right now. It's $10 a tail. We're giving out a free trapping book when you turn in your stuff for a family. And definitely it's a good time to get the youth involved. I know a lot of the kids turning stuff in they always got a smile on their face, turn their tails in, and they're happy to see the check come in their mailbox as well when they get it sent to them.
Yeah, a little reward. What is there to know about trapping on public land?
Yep, so they can trap on a few of the public lands, some of the game production areas, but on some of the lease stuff, they got to still ask for permission on.
Okay.
So like walk-in and crep. I don't know if you guys have any chap up here. Any ones we lease, they still got to have permission to go out on.
Is there any restrictions on like types of traps?
Yeah, there's a few. I'd have to look in the handbook, but there is some restrictions on like, I know like conibears are one of the big ones. Like if you're in the road right away or on... They got to be recessed, like, back in the bucket so far.
Sure.
I'm not sure off the top of my head what that number is, but I could let you know here. But, yeah, there are a few restrictions. They got to check them there in a timely manner as well. And then, I don't know, we just recommend, like, we run into it usually a couple times a year, guys trapping right next to somebody's house, and they end up getting their dog. So they catch somebody's dog. So even though you are allowed to trap in some of these areas, definitely reach out to the – if you're going to be trapping near somebody's house – we always recommend reaching out and talking with them and determining if they have animals that are going in those areas just to avoid the confrontation and ultimately the sad story when somebody's dog gets trapped in there and passes away.
For sure. Have you seen, this is off topic, but I was just curious. Have you seen people shore fishing? Because I feel like people are kind of in that little... thing right now where they want to get out and they've waited all winter. Where are you seeing some shore fishing?
Yeah, so actually this week it was on, I think it was mid Monday. I was just driving around checking some lakes and there was actually people at every single lake. So I think, like you said, people are bored right now and they're itching to get out. And down my way, there's been people fishing on Ponset. Obviously, Stone Bridge is the main porch where people fish at. They're catching some walleyes there. And then on the west side of the county, on Three Buck, people are familiar with that. And then Fate Slough, guys are over there, and they're catching walleyes as well right now. So I know there's no shortage of fish bite right now. A lot of guys are saying they're catching a lot of males right now, smaller males around that 15-inch range. But every once in a while, I talked to a guy last night, picked up a nice female, like 20, 23 inches full of eggs and everything. So guys are definitely catching fish, and now's the time to go. That water really warmed up down our way when we got those couple days in the 70s.
Yeah, for sure. I think it'll be nice-ish Saturday, but it'll be windy.
Yep.
If I could control the weather, I'd control the wind, not the sun. The wind stinks. Everyone agrees that. The wind just ruins... I mean, it's just... A lot of times with boating and stuff like that, I mean, if you're kayaking, it's just not fun.
No.
Tomorrow we're looking for clouds, a high of 57, and like you said, windy out of the south-southwest tomorrow, 20 miles an hour, gusting as high as about 30 miles an hour. So that's the wind for tomorrow.
Sweet.
Another
windy day.
Yeah.
What else is new in South Dakota, right? Really? I mean, come on. If you don't have the wind or you don't have, you don't have anything, right?
Right.
You could definitely take advantage of the wind right now if you want to get out and about and hunt snow geese.
That's true.
I know this week I went out a couple times, and so did some buddies, and pass shooting snow geese in the wind is pretty darn fun, and they're flying really low right now. So if it's too windy and you can't fish, grab the shotgun and definitely go try to shoot a snow goose.
Yeah, there's one benefit, I guess.
That's about the only one.
Yeah.
Any
shore fishing?
Yeah, that's true. The windmills, like, although I did pick up a... 2 days ago, picked up an eagle that was right underneath the windmill.
Really?
The busted, shattered wings, so...
So you got called in and did that?
Somebody
what do you do?
That one ended up getting taken to the Bramble Park Zoo in Watertown, and I think it got euthanized probably because its wing was hanging on by a thread yet.
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, yeah, that's they definitely have their benefits and their downfalls as well.
So if there's any sort of like wildlife injury, are you always, or CO is usually always the first person to kind of go check that out, or is there anyone else that does that?
A lot of times we'll be the one to go check them out, unless it like happens in town where they have an animal control officer. But usually all of our stuff's out in the country, so we get called numerous times to injured animals, whether it's eagles, deer, predator animals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're usually the first one they call. And a lot of times we'll try to bring stuff, if we can, to the zoo just so it can get a chance of getting rehabilitized. But the zoos don't really take a lot of the wild animals anymore.
Fair enough.
But yeah, any shore fishermen out at the park yet in that smaller campground on the bottom?
Well, that's not really open yet too much. Yeah, along our west campground, I mean, we have that creek that comes down by our Aspen Springs Trail. That's opened up a little bit, but it's not enough to, like, fish successfully. Okay. It's really shallow up in there. You may get lucky and have something, you know, right at sunset or after sunset. It's extremely shallow by our day use creek. I mean, if you don't have waders, I wouldn't even fish it.
Yep.
And yeah, it's just very shallow. I know a lot of people fish for northerns in there and white bass. They come up in the mornings and sometimes in the evenings. So it's just not a ton of success there. But I do know a lot of people in the summer when they have waders and they actually go out a little bit deeper, they have some pretty good luck with that freshwater coming out of it.
How about the turkeys yet in the park? Are you seeing them starting to move around a
little
more?
All over.
I figured. Have you seen any of them? I noticed this morning there was a group strutting on the way up here.
Well, there are some very large groups. The property that's to the west of us, that farmer property there, is loaded with turkeys.
Yep.
I'd be curious to know, since we have our prehistoric village up on top there, I'm like, I wonder if a lot of turkeys go up there, because you can hunt that area in the park. And
yep.
You know, but I think some guys are getting eager to put their blinds out too, getting ready for that turkey season. I would be, because there are tons. So
yeah, on her way back from Watertown yesterday, I bet we saw a group of, I don't know, I'm not good at numbers, but probably 50 to 75. I mean, just right off the interstate, right on the South Shore exit there,
yep.
South Shore, Stockholm. And I asked my wife, I said, what are, you know, it was in a distance. I said, what's all that up there? And she said, well, I think they're turkeys. As we got closer, yeah, I mean, it was, they were all over the road and all over both sides of the ditch. And I don't know how many there were, but I had to come to a complete stop. I mean, obviously I would have hit them, but yeah, that was crazy. Groups of turkeys. Yeah.
That's exactly where they were this morning. I got off the South Shore exit. They were sitting right there strutting away, yeah. Sunning themselves. But yeah. That season's coming up quick too. I think it starts on April 12th. So we're only roughly 3 weeks away, 3-4 weeks, right in there. And definitely shaping up to be a pretty good turkey season too with the early spring we've been having here.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And did you draw a tag this year?
No.
No.
I didn't even put in. I got a turkey last year. I had my fun. I just
call her quits.
It would just feel so easy at the park, I feel. And it's like, well.
They're working right alongside it probably every day.
Yeah, I know. I could just just go to work and get one quick. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's usually a pretty good batch always right in the park there. And then just down the lake, there's a couple different Smith GPAs just down the road a ways. There's a pretty good population of turkeys there. And then down by the power plant as well along the lake. So there's several good spots for guys looking for opportunities up here along Big Stone.
Yeah, they're going to do actually a little bit of work on Smith this summer. As far as that little road goes, they're going to kind of widen. I don't know. It's a lot of trees. I honestly don't know what species. My guess is buckthorn, because there's shade, there's probably going to be buckthorn around here. But they're going to kind of make that little kayak access a little bit neater.
Yep.
I think they're going to re-gravel it maybe, clean up the trees around it. So that'll be nice to have, but that's a decent GPA that we have off of that.
That's a really nice GPA. And I think we're talking to Blake last. I think we're on the schedule for the ones doing the work for our group. Our district of COs is going to be coming up here and clearing those trees out.
There you go. Now that was right, I guess.
So we should be able to update you next time we come to the show on what I'm guessing we'll do it the next month here, right around May.
Cool.
Sounds like they're going to be widening that little turnaround down there, like you said, and making a little kayak launch and make it a little better shore fishing opportunity down that way.
Yeah. Is it deeper over there? Is it still pretty shallow?
I think it's fairly deep because we have a lot of our fish structures just out in front of that, not very far.
Then that would be great to have some shore fishing access there. That could be a new hot spot for sure if that structure is there.
Yeah.
I know shore fishermen can be pretty restricted around here, but we do try to make a lot of new accesses. I know we clear some down at Rearing Ponds, Kazuskis, Hiawatha. I mean, all of our accesses that we manage, we specifically try to clear out those spots for shore fishing. So
yeah, Big Stone's definitely, people up here are pretty pretty grateful that there is that they can go. There's a lot of opportunity to go up and down the lake. Almost every several miles you can pull off on a spot and shore fish up here.
Yep. It's pretty nice.
Which most like, I mean, like Ponset down there, we got a few opportunities for guys to shore fish, but definitely not, I wouldn't say like up here, like you guys got.
Yep. I think it's already hard to start casting out plugs or anything like that. Our pond weed is, I mean, I was looking at it through the live scope on the ice. I think we're going to have another big pond weed year just because we've had barely any snow cover that ice. I mean, it's been getting sunlight almost all winter. It'll probably break off like the time it did last year. It broke off like a few weeks earlier than it has in previous years, and it broke off a lot. There was a lot of pond weed.
That I can already remember back being an intern picking that up, so I feel your pain when you have to start picking that up off the beach.
Yep. It's a few week process. I mean, it breaks off for a few weeks, so we stay at it every day and try to make it somewhat neater, because it if we get a northwest wind, most of that ends up right on our beach. So.
Yep. Yeah, and I want to say last year it broke off right around the Walleye Classic time, which is usually Father's Day weekend. I remember you could almost fish just about anywhere then. It was kind of in that process where it was on the tail end. So I'm guessing it'll be pretty close to the same this year.
Yep. Yeah. Not looking forward to it, but we'll get rid of it, guys. Don't worry.
All right. I think we'll take our final break in this hour, and we'll be back to wrap up the conservation show right after this.
Hi, it's me, your USPS Ground Advantage shipment. Just left the warehouse and hitting the road.
I know, just got the notification.
Great, smooth sailing so far. I'm almost there.
Yes, I know. I get all the updates.
Made it, safe and sound.
I know.
Well, did you know I was with USPS the whole time?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Keep your business in the know with USPS Ground Advantage service. Visit USPS.com/in the know.
Previously on the Under the Hood Show.
It's not that cold, but I got the Armor All underneath.
How about the Under Armour?
T-shirt.
Armor All. Armor All is what Russ
sprays it on.
Russ uses our Armor All cold gear because he's such an automotive guy.
Did I say Armor All?
He did.
Yeah, I got all the.
Sprays a layer on. Russ is going to plow right through us. Yeah, he's not going to let.
I'm going to do my best.
Napa Auto Parts in Milbank sponsors the Under the Hood Show with the Motor Medics, Russ Evans, and Shannon Nordstrom. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10. On KMSD.
This is Russ Evans from the Under the Hood Show. When I'm in Milbank area and need parts or tools, I trust Napa Auto Parts in Milbank. Napa Milbank is locally owned and operated by my good friends Chris and Eric Kelly. They pride themselves on great customer service, quality parts, and tools at competitive prices. With convenient hours every day, weekdays 7:30 to 6, Saturday 8 to 4:30, and Sunday 11 to 2:30. Trust me, these guys know their stuff and they're ready to get the job done. Napa Auto Parts Milbank, south of the Highway 12 and 15 intersection, or give them a call at 438-NAP.
Calling all anglers and adventurers. Discover the ultimate convenience store at Jergens Sea Store in Wilmot, your go-to destination for everything you need to fuel your fishing passion. New to our lineup, live bait. That's right, we've got fresh minnows and wriggling worms to help you hook the big one. But wait, there's more. Our deli serves up savory burgers, mouth-watering Piccadilly pizza, snacks, cold beverages, and a whole lot of yum. And don't forget to top off your tank while you're here. Fill up your car, pickup, and boat with top-notch gas so you can hit the road or the water without missing a beat. For all your fishing and fueling needs, there's only one name to remember. Jergens Sea Store in Wilmot, another great Stilson Oil Company Sea Store. Swing by today and let the adventure begin.
Shop the Spring Boating Sales Event at Doug's Anchor Marine. Through March 26th, get a free Bass Pro Shop gift card up to $1,000 with the purchase of select new Tracker boats powered by Mercury Motors. When you buy a new qualifying Mercury-powered Tracker, get up to 7 years of factory-backed warranty on the Mercury motor. Shop the Spring Boating Sales Event at Doug's Anchor Marine, North Highway 20, Watertown, online at DougsAnchorMarine.com, your authorized Tracker boat dealer. The staff at Brotherhood Arms has years of experience in different shooting sports, so they can assist you with rifles, shotguns, handguns, and bows for hunting, sports shooting, or home defense. They have a massive selection of firearms, plus plenty of ammo. Brotherhood Arms, next to Doug's Anchor Marine in Watertown. Online, at brotherhoodarms.net. Brotherhood Arms. Guns,
bows, and bullets. Classic Hits 95.1. Weather.
Here's your KMSD forecast. Partly cloudy skies today with a slight chance for snow showers. Highs around 44. Northerly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Lows dip down to around 19 tonight. Mainly clear skies. A dusting of snow Sunday. From the South Dakota State Lottery Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley. Currently, it's 37 degrees.
KMSD.
Things are just better when you switch to Cricket. The sun shines a little brighter. Happy music starts randomly playing. Best of all, you can get iPhone 13 for just $29.99. With the ultra-bright Super Retina display and up to 19 hours of video playback, all on Cricket's super-fast 5G network. See? Isn't that better? Smile, you're on Cricket.
Requires new account and port in on $60 plan. First service charge, tax due at sale. $25 activation fee, terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. See store for details.
All right, and welcome back to the final segment of the Conservation Show here on your Friday. And again, we welcome in Logan and Sonny for the final segment. So what are we going to close off today with?
Me and Logan both got some open positions we'd like to talk about. We have some volunteer positions open at Hartford Beach. I know I've touched on this in the past previous weeks, but if you or even anybody you know would be interested in a host position at Hartford Beach, that is open. So if you want to call 605-432-6374 and we could chat a little bit more about it. Basically, an overview, you work 24 hours a week. Usually you get a majority of those Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You get a free camper spot, full hookup for you, plumbing and electrical. We have a good time. It's pretty, if you like to socialize, you know, be in the campground. And like I said, if you know anyone who would be interested, maybe they can be from anywhere. They don't need to be from Milbank or anything like that. If they would be interested, maybe just let them know that position or a few positions are open here at Hartford Beach. So,
yeah, it's a great opportunity there because do they get a free camping spot all summer?
Yep, get a free spot all summer, and there's fun little benefits each week. After you hit like a benchmark of each hours, you get prizes, free camping nights at other parks. Yeah, it's fun, and we're pretty close-knit up there, and I like to treat my hosts like family, and yeah, it's a good team up there, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good gig for somebody looking to get in the parks, put in a few hours, maybe doesn't necessarily want to work all 40 hours, but
right.
Get a free spot and put in some work.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, our position I was going to talk about, too, is we got the conservation officer trainee positions are open right now until the 26th of March, so if it's ever been your dream career or you've ever thought about wanting to be a game warden in South Dakota, definitely put your name in there and see what happens. You can go on our website, on Facebook, the South Dakota Game Fisher Parks website, and the link is right on there. It'll take you right to the application process. So for viewers listening, whether you're fresh out of college or going to graduate here, definitely get your name in and possibly make it your future career.
So the trainee position, how is that different from just a normal full-time CO?
Yep, so the trainee position basically starts you out, like that's what I did. I was a trainee. I had no other law enforcement certification or anything, so became a trainee. You basically go through all the background, polygraph, everything. You get hired after that. You go to your pre-academy for 2 weeks out in Pierre, wherever it's at. Then you go to the academy for 13 weeks in Pierre. You do post-academy for 2 weeks, and then we have a field training program where basically you got a couple different officers that'll ride with you. You're making all the day-to-day decisions. They're just kind of there with you, making sure you're doing everything right. I think it was around, I'm not sure what it's at now, if it's around 15 weeks, somewhere right in there. And then once you finish that, then you're actually a certified conservation officer then, and you actually can go out on your own then and work.
Gotcha. So I'm guessing a good amount of COs start as a trainee, unless yep. They're coming from other, if they come from like another state and they're a CO, do they have to do all that still?
Yeah, it depends on if they're state. Some states, they don't recognized certifications from other states. Okay. So sometimes I still have to go to the academy and stuff from that. But pretty much everybody starts out as a trainee when you get hired, even if you are working somewhere else as an officer. Their training period might just be shorter.
Do you need a degree of some sort, or can anyone apply?
Yeah, so used to require a four-year degree, and now they kind of switched on that a little bit too. We're hiring some two-year degrees out of Lake Erie. I know Lake Erie's got that new program there, kind of like a gnarly program like SDSU has. So we switched to that. But, yes, I do believe they still require some sort of a college degree for that.
And for location, where would you be?
Yes, there's we got a lot of openings yet right now across the state. We filled a majority of them, but I know like up in our area here, we got an opening right now yet in Webster and Aberdeen. And then I know in the Region 3 area, I think like Huron, Howard.
So there's quite a few.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, there's quite a few. I want to say there's around probably 7 to 10 different spots across the state.
Neat.
So yeah, definitely a good opportunity. If anybody's interested, put your name in, see what happens.
And if you feel like you don't have the experience, come work for me.
That's right.
And that's a good gateway, like Logan did. And look where he is right now.
A lot of us officers either worked in the park at some point or did internships with the park. So, and we've hired a lot of guys in the last couple of years that have worked for the park. So,
yep, we're a good stepping stone for
definitely,
sure.
Definitely put in, especially at Hartford. It's a fun spot to work up there.
I agree.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got for this week. I can't really think of anything else.
No, covered my stuff.
All right. Well, then we will turn it back to regular programming, and the Conservation Show returns, of course, next Friday with Jeff Carino. So we'll be back with more right after this.